Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Look at the person next to you. Tell them today is your day. Tell somebody. Tell them today is your day. Yeah. Pastor, thank you again. I've been bragging on him last night and today, and I'm going to keep bragging on him. I've got a lot of preachers that I've met and known all over the world. Most of them have got lace on their underwear. I don't even like them. But I like this guy. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. I hope all of you know what you've got here. Amen? Come on. Give God a praise for the man of God. That's why I like coming here. Every once in a while you find somebody that understands you. And he understands Metro. He understands what we do. But more than that, he understands me. He understands what drives me, what moves me, and what keeps me pushing. That 154,000 in Sunday school last week, that is the result, my friends, of one man in 1961 that picked me up off the street. Most of you know the story. When my mother left me on the corner, she walked away. She never came back. And it was one Christian man who chose to stop, put his hand on my shoulder, and said, "Are you okay?" That's it. There were no lights, no cameras, no interviewers, none of that. Just a little kid that nobody wanted and a Christian man whose own son was in the hospital dying of leukemia, and yet he still stopped. It was interesting. He's old now. He won't be around much longer. But it was years ago. I brought him to New York, stood him on the corner, let him see the buses, over 50 buses that we run on a Saturday, 20 of the trucks, and now the thing has gone all over the world, as Pastor said. And I wanted that man to see that because he chose to stop, because he chose to do something not all that elaborate, he borrowed $17.50 to send me the day he found me. That day, folks, he didn't have to go to a conference, didn't have to go on a three-day fast. He didn't even have to read a Joyce Meyer's book. Thank God. Didn't have to do any of that. He made some phone calls, borrowed $17.50, sent me to a Sunday school camp where I heard the story of Jesus for the first time, and everything changed. Got it? Everything changed. Because one man. Yeah, you can give God a praise. One man. One very ordinary Christian saw the need. The need became the call. And because of that, 154,000 heard the story of Jesus last week. That's what this service is about. That's what this whole weekend has been about. The power of the process. I started last night, picked it up in the last service. I'll finish it now in this service. Because once you understand there is a process that we can all walk through. You don't have to hear an audible voice. You don't have to see a burning bush. You don't have to get knocked off your donkey. If I thought knocking some of you off a donkey would help you, I would have rented a donkey and brought it in here and just pushed you some off it. It's not about that, folks. It's about seeing the need, understanding that one person can make a difference. And I'm still believing that even in this service, some of you are going to get this. Something's going to connect with some of you. That's going to move you. It's going to push you into a different dimension. I've seen it happen all over the world. There was two young girls, 20 years ago? Yep. They came to KL, didn't even want to go, but they were sent by their pastor from a church in the city. Didn't want to go, came to my meeting. Halfway through, The Holy Spirit got a hold of them. They came back and built the biggest Sunday school right here in Singapore. Ordinary people do extraordinary things. That's what today is about. That's what this service is about. I'll be at the back table on the plaza or plaza, whatever country you're from. There's some books back there. I think all of you should have got a calendar as you came in. Please take a minute. Take a look at it. If you want to be involved and updated on what we do, I send out emails only when it's important. I don't bother you with stupid emails. I send out stuff that's important. And if you want to be a part of that, fill that out. Tear it off. Give it to me. Not the ushers. Give it to me at the back table outside. And I just want to shake your hand. Thank you for being a part of our prayer network. And then take the calendar home. Put it in your home. This week, do not leave it in the auditorium. Put it in your Bible. Put it in your purse. If you're a man here and you have a purse, I don't even know what to say. I'm not going to say anything because I'll get mad all over again. All right? But I'll be back there. Love to chat with you. Shake your hand. A couple of books left. Whose Child Is This? Is the one that really tells the story of how Metro has become the largest Sunday school in the world. I just found out two weeks ago now. I didn't mention it in the other services, but as in the U.S., it just received the award for the most influential biography of all Christian biographies. So it's kind of an interesting book. Come on. God's doing some great things. If you haven't picked it up, Whose Child Is This? I'll be back there. We'll sign it for you. One-Eyed Kings, Running with Turtles. I actually designed this to be a weapon. You buy the book. If your friends tell you you're going too fast, then you pick up the book and you hit them in the head with it. So that's what this book was designed for. Tell them you don't need to slow down. They need to speed up. Teflon Rhino. Lots of interesting things back there. I don't know if we've got the number 18 rated tape. I'm not sure it's available. They didn't let me sell it in Singapore for a while. It shows where I live and the people I live with. Most of you by now know I live a very different kind of life. I don't live the typical preacher life. I still live in the ghetto. I live in a warehouse. I still get in street fights. I'm in a good mood today, so it's your lucky day. But just smile at me in the plaza. Do not come back there looking grumpy, because I'll have something to say. Amen? All right. You all good with that? Can you handle that? We got folks in the cheap seats in this service. How you all doing, folks? I'm watching all of you. I have very good eyesight for an old man, and I can see you. So we're going to have a good time on this service. The last thing that I want to mention before I get into the message, and this will be the third different message that I brought to you this weekend. It's all about the power of the process. I talked about the process you have to go to be people of great faith in the last service. Use David over in 1 Samuel as an example. His faith was nurtured in solitude. It was strengthened in conflict, and it was proven in hopelessness. At that moment when you think you can't go any farther, that's when the process kicks in. And in this service, I'm going to be talking about a different message. But as you leave in the plaza this afternoon, you'll see these pictures. Pastor's already mentioned that you'll have an opportunity, and it is an opportunity to take one child like that man did for me in 1961 when he picked me up off the street. You will have that same opportunity to do that same thing. The pictures you'll see, some of you have already sponsored kids in the past couple of years that I've been coming here. I'm in Singapore every August. Pastor, I think, feels sorry for me, so he lets me come and talk to you. and he allows me to come and share the ministry, share the needs of the kids. If you have not sponsored a kid, and one of the folks out there said this was the third child. They sponsored one every year that I've been coming there. So that's great. Thank you. I know you're in the service. Thank you so much for doing that. But these are the kids that literally we have committed our lives to. Most of you know that by now. This kid here, I haven't really said much about him. He just died 3 weeks ago. We were trying to get him sponsored. Couldn't get him a sponsor. Got his brother sponsored, but we couldn't get him sponsored. I deal, folks, with life and death stuff. Just about every day of my life. And that's not being dramatic. At this time in my life, I don't need to be dramatic. This is the lifestyle that I have chosen. It has taken me, as Pastor mentioned, all over the world. Whether it's me wearing a bulletproof vest in Somalia, whether it's getting in a shootout, as I did last year in Nigeria, where we rescued 23 of the girls from Boko Haram. It's just, yeah, it's not enough to say you care. I got really tired of people like Obama's wife using the hashtag, bring our girls back. It's not enough to hashtag anything. Okay? Somebody's got to do something. Somebody's got to do something. So that's what Metro represents. That's what I represent. Some of the things that I will say today will disturb you. Some of the things you'll see on the screen will disturb you. I do not apologize for that. If you're a visitor, I've said at each service, please come back next week. He's a great pastor. And he's got a great wife. He's got a great wife. Yeah. They're great. Most pastors' wives, they're exhausting. He's got a good one. Y'all ought to be grateful. This is the epitome of the better half. I love you, Pastor, but she's the better half. So today's going to be different. Please come back next week. I'll be long gone. But please, folks, if you have not sponsored one of the kids, you know we have an office now here in Singapore, a staff there to serve you, to answer your questions, to keep you connected to your sponsored child. It's $35 a month. You can be as involved in the life of the child as you choose to. I mentioned just briefly last year the little girl that I found in Ethiopia. I was visiting the orphanage there. They said there was a girl that was tied to a tree, chained to a tree. Her parents didn't want her. And I said, has anybody tried to find her? And of course, nobody had. So I said, let's go. Got a couple of guys. We jumped in the Jeep, driving around 2 hours. We finally find this girl. And many of you know that in parts of the world, girls are not valued. It's very disturbing to me, but it's a part of certain cultures. And Africa happens to be one of those places, unfortunately. And they wanted a boy. They got the girl. Her name is Rosie. They tried to starve her to death. Couldn't do that. So they ended up chaining her to the tree in the bush, hoping she would die. Then the animals come and eat the body. You guys know how it goes in that part of the world. We find the girl. I had a hacksaw with me in the Jeep. I cut the chain, picked her up, got her back to the orphanage. Do you have the picture of Rosie? Back there, I wanted you to see this. I took this shot myself when I got her back to the orphanage. I was very frustrated, just angry. I have learned, and this may not be an Asian way of thinking. Maybe it should be. But I have learned that unless you get angry at something, you're not going to change anything.
Can I let that kind of walk for a minute?
Unless you get angry, folks, at an injustice, you're not going to change nothing. Once again, here I am looking at this kid, and some of you, I'm sure, and I've said this in some of the other services. I'm sure some of you are in the medical profession. If you know anything about that, once a child crosses over into this dimension, sometimes they come back, sometimes they don't. I still have a deformed rib cage right here because I had rickets from malnutrition when I was little. My rib cage never did develop properly. I get it. Some of you get it. I took this picture, and I was leaving 2 days later to come back to the States. I was preaching at a pastor school in Dallas, Texas. I took that picture, and I put it in one of these folders, like the ones you'll see outside. And I thought, well, maybe somebody will take Rosie on. I don't know. I didn't really think they would, because they just... You know, it's like this kid. You know, and I haven't said this yet here, but I'm going to say it now. You know why I couldn't get a sponsor for this kid? Because he looks the way he looks. He's crippled. His face is deformed. So was mine when I was his age. You know why my mother left me on the corner? Now you know. And I thought, nobody's going to sponsor her just because of the situation. And I preached the first night in Dallas, and I was at the table like you'll see me after the service. And a family came up, and the mom kind of was the one that was taking the drive on it. She said, Pastor Bill, we want to sponsor Rosie. I said, look, I appreciate it, but you know she may make it, she may not. And the mom said, we know it, but we want to take her on. I had her fill out the card. They were great sponsors, faithful in their monthly commitment. They sent some nutrients, boxed up some stuff, sent it to the orphanage. And I got a chance to go back 6 months later. And I went, of course, to see how Rosie was doing. Do you guys have the other shot there? That was 6 months later. So you can give God a praise. Come on. I show you this so you understand. I don't need your pity. Kids like this don't need your sympathy. They just need you to do what the man did for me. That's it, folks. Somebody needs to care. Pretty simple. Maybe not that simple. I don't know. But this is the difference that one person can make. And I found out that the sponsors also now got some folks raising the money to help the adoption process. We're getting her adopted out. So it's been a great story. It's been a great story. And I'll keep you updated in the future on her. But take a minute, if you can. Please don't get in a rush. We'll be out there. I'll sign your book. Take a minute. Pick a child. We've got kids from Metro Kenya. We've got kids from Metro India. The Kenyan kids particularly, if you'll notice, will be marked boy or girl because you can't tell the difference. The reason why is because the parents shave the heads of their daughters to make them look like boys so they don't get raped. Well, that's why. There's a reason. So as you look, take your time, ask the Lord what he would have you to do. Is that fair enough? Pastor, again, thank you very, very much. And hopefully you guys will make some differences today. I believe you will. I want you to get your Bibles out, if you will, please. In this last service that I have with you this weekend, I'm going to have you make some notes in your Bible. If you're using an iPad, if you're using a phone, you may want to make notes there. I always encourage folks that on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, or if nothing else this week, to be able to look back and reflect on these messages. I don't preach because I have nothing better to do. if I didn't think I had something to say that would help you. It's not because I have a PhD. It's not because I teach Old Testament. It's not because I write books or because I'm on television. If I really didn't think I had something to say, believe me, folks, I wouldn't be here. I'm not going to waste your time, and I'm sure not going to waste mine. But as I put messages together to bring to folks, it's birthed out of a truth that I have discovered and have put it to the test. It's one thing if a 20-year-old preacher says something's true, because truth is truth. No matter who the catalyst is, no matter who the conduit is, truth is truth. Although, if you're under 30, you just need to shut up and pay attention. I love you, but that's another message. Mm-hmm. I had somebody want me to push their book, promote their book. They're both in their 20s, husband and wife. They got two little babies, and they wrote a book on how to raise kids. You have lost your mind. Turn this up. Yo, turn this up. I want to yell. Mm-hmm. I'm getting mad already, and it's not even the first point. They're in their 20s. They got two little kids, and they're writing a book on how to raise kids. I'll slap you myself. You need to be slapped in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. I want to hear from somebody in their 50s and 60s that have raised a couple of kids through their teenage years and didn't kill them. That's what I want to hear. I'm going to buy a book from people who read, come on, Jesus, who raised some kids that didn't grow up to be idiots. Mm-hmm. So, the power of the process. I'm in Zurich, Switzerland, right? Mm-hmm. Speaking at a leaders conference. I'm at the back table, signing books, trying to get some folks to get some of these kids sponsored. And I always keep my interpreter with me when I'm in countries that don't speak English. I thought about having an interpreter here. You guys speak Singlish? What the heck is that? Singlish. I saw it on TV the other day. What? Somebody needs to explain that to me. Maybe I do need an interpreter at the back table. I don't know. So, this guy asked me, he says, because he's heard, you know, I've been shot in the head, guy had the gun in my mouth, first shot misfired, second shot blew the whole side of my face out. I've had three operations. Somebody out there before I came in said, they said, you look better since you've been shot. I guess that's a Singlish thing. I don't know. Okay. That was just not exactly the way to say it. Shot, stabbed, thrown off the building. Dengue fever, malaria twice, yellow fever. Yep. Ribs broken, jaw broken. Yep. But I'm still in a good mood. Right? I feel good today. I feel great. So these folks had heard the stories, and they had actually saw pictures of me after I got my face blown out. And he comes up very sincerely and says, Pastor Bill, he said, I want to get to where you are. Really? Now, I wasn't in as good a mood in Zurich as I am today. Now, some days, hey, I do fine. I can actually be quite charming. I have my moments. That wasn't one of them. And then he says, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me that I'll get to where you are? Will I pray for you? Mm-hmm. I said, yes, I'll pray for you, but let me tell you first how I'm going to pray. And then you tell me if you still want me to pray for you. So he's pumped. I mean, he's big eyes. He's ready. Pastor Bill's going to pray for him. I said, first of all, I'm going to pray that you will lose all your friends. Then I want to pray that you'll have people steal money from you. Then I'm going to pray that you'll get malaria, dengue fever, that you'll have guns pulled on you, that you'll get stabbed a couple of times. Then I'm going to pray that somebody will throw you off of a building. And last, I'm going to pray that you get shot in the head. I said, now, do you still want me to pray for you? He gives me the dog look. You know what the dog look is. It's when you're talking to your dog and your dog goes, that's the dog look. Do not give me the dog look. Mm-hmm. He gives me the dog look and goes, you know, Pastor Bill, maybe next time. Maybe next time. Exactly, you pinhead. See? Because everybody today wants me to pray some 60-second prayer over them to get the same thing that it's taken me 50 years to get. What's up? See, the folks today want to push a button and go straight to the top. That's why I always tell people, if you have an option between taking the elevator or the stairs, always take the stairs. Always take the stairs, because then you'll remember what it took to get to the top. He said, I want to get to where you are. I've learned, folks, after being in the ministry now for almost 50 years, I've learned it's a process. Because everything, look at me, everything is a process. You want to be able to go and rescue girls from the terrorists? That's great. It's great. You want to go to these places and cut a pair of chains and save a girl's life? You want to do that? That's great. But let me just explain to you. You don't just wake up one day and do this. It's a process. It's a process. If you are willing to go through the steps of the process, life is many roads, and you have to walk those roads to get to the destination. Most of us know that in theory. We've read it somewhere, or we've heard it. But when it comes down to the practicality of walking this thing out, a lot of people struggle with it. So in the few minutes I got left, I'm going to take you down five roads. You may want to jot them down, or you can just get the CD later. I'd encourage you to write them down, because, see, I'm going to ask you at the end, which road are you on? Where are you today? I don't know where you're going, but if you're going anywhere, if you're trying to get to a destination, if you're trying to make a difference with your life, you're going to have to go down five roads. How far you choose to go, it's on you, my friend. It's on you. It's your choice. Because, see, you can stop at any point on any road of this journey. You ever wonder why people give their life to Christ and they're faithful to church, and then all of a sudden it's like they dropped off the radar. Just gone. Never see them again. You ever wonder why that is? I'm going to explain it to you today. Let's take a look at these five roads and see where they lead us. Road number one. If you really choose to go into the process, if you really choose to get somewhere, if you really choose to live this thing out, road number one is found in Luke chapter 24. We're not going to read it. Just write it down, because you know the story. It's two men. I see them on this road. They're disappointed. They're discouraged. They're disillusioned. You know why? Because they thought they knew who Jesus was. They heard him. They saw the miracles. They knew the man. But they thought Jesus had come to build an earthly kingdom. Mm-hmm. And then when they saw him die on the cross, they couldn't, look at me, they couldn't put the pieces of the puzzle together. Because in their mind, he came to be an earthly king. They didn't get it. So I guess they really didn't know who Jesus really was, did they? They thought they did. You know this story there in Luke. It's the two men on the Emmaus Road. And the Emmaus Road is always road number one on the journey. What kind of road is the Emmaus Road? It's the road of recognition. Write it down. It's the road of recognition. They thought they knew who he was. But when they saw him die on the cross, they said, we feel like fools. We thought we knew, but I guess we don't. And now they're walking back home. Watch me. They're walking home. And Jesus appears in his resurrected body. You know the story. But they were so disappointed, they were so disillusioned, that even when Jesus did appear, they didn't recognize it was him. God help us. Even when he shows up, they don't get it. Really? Really? Yeah, that blinded? Your recognition is that maligned? Really? And it wasn't until they got to their house. Jesus joined them and they sat down to eat dinner. They had fellowship together, and the Bible says that their eyes were opened and they recognized who was in the house. Isn't that interesting? See, this, my friends, is where your journey always begins. The road of recognition. When you recognize who he really is, not who you think he is, not who you heard he was, not who you read he was, but when it connects with you. Let me tell you something. When that man sent me to the camp, he picked me up off the street, sent me to a Sunday school camp. I'm sitting in the back. The man that's preaching says, if you need Jesus, come to the front. I was 12 years old. I'd never been to church. I had no idea what that man was talking about, but I knew I needed something. I came to the front, right here. I sat down, right here. 100 kids, at least, filling up the front, giving their life to Christ. Counselors, talking with them, praying with them. The only kid that had nobody praying with them is me. You know why? Because I looked like the boy in the picture. Because I had the same clothes on they picked me up off the street in. Because I had no other clothes. I was still dirty because I'd been on the street for 3 days. Nobody wanted to pray with the little dirty boy. Nobody wanted to pray for the boy whose mother didn't want him. I get it. I get it firsthand. We were supposed to be praying, but I'd never prayed, but I tried, and I even remember what I said. I was 12 years old. I remember it to this day. You know what I said? I said, God, my mother doesn't want me, and now the Christians don't want me either. I said, but if you want me, here I am. And let me tell you something, pal. I'm looking you eyeball to eyeball, and I'm going to tell you something. The little poor boy, right there. For the first time in my life, when I prayed that prayer, something happened to me. And for the first time in my life, I felt like somebody loved me. Because nobody ever loved me. Right there. I recognized who was for myself. I got it. I was 12 years old, but I got it. I got it. But, my friends, repentance is the beginning of the journey. When you recognize who He is. The road of recognition. But see, once you recognize who He is, that automatically puts you on road number two. And what's road number two? It's found in the book of Acts, chapter number 9. You can read it later, but you probably know the story. Man's on his donkey. He gets knocked off the donkey, laying in the middle of this road. Now, the geographical road was the Damascus Road. It's Saul, better known later as Paul. But see, this is always the second road in the journey. You remember, the Lord knocks him off the donkey with a bright light. He's blind. He's laying in the middle of the road. But do you remember the first thing he said? Some of you will, some of you don't. You know what he said? Who are you, Lord? Yes! Yes! He'd already passed the road of recognition. He knew exactly who was dealing with him. He knew exactly who was speaking to his heart. Who are you, Lord? But see, once you recognize who he is on the road of recognition, on the Emmaus Road, he will put you right in the middle, my friends, of the second road. What kind of road is the Damascus Road? It's the road of confrontation. The road of confrontation. Because once you recognize who he is, he's going to confront you. He's going to confront the issues in your life. He's going to confront you. You. He's going to confront you. He's going to confront the things in your life that needs to change. And I'm not going to list them, but I'll let you check your own self. Why do you think some of the folks that start the journey make it for a while, but then when the Holy Spirit starts to confront them and starts to poke and push and prod and demand a change and an alteration of some of the issues in your life, that's when some people say, I'm out. I'm going to a rest area. I'm stopping at McDonald's. I'm done. And the journey for those folks ends there. On road number two. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame? They thought they wanted to do the journey. They thought they wanted to get to a destination. But if you allow the Lord to convict you, to move upon you, and you make the changes required of you that He's requiring, then that's going to bring you to road number three. You see the journey, you see the trip, you see the process, you see the power of the process begins on your Emmaus Road. And then that takes you to the Damascus Road. But then you're going to be minding your own business. Minding your own business. Just going down this third road. That's in Luke chapter 10. Oh, but you know the story too, don't you? Yeah, sure you do. I see a man on this road. He's been robbed, beat up, left for dead. Everybody's passing him by. You know the story. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. He's there on the Jericho Road, left on the side of the road. I understand that. I was left on the side of the road myself. I get it. The Christians passing by. Preacher! I guess preacher was going to a conference. He didn't have time. Yeah. Everybody goes by. God help us. Everybody passes him by except one. Sound familiar? Yeah. Yeah. And this man wasn't even of the same nationality that the man who was left on the road. You know the story. I'm not going to elaborate on it. He helps the man, gets him to the hospital, even pays the bill. Doesn't even know the guy. Did you hear me? Doesn't even know the guy. What kind of road then is road number three? We know this road as the Jericho Road. I've walked the Jericho Road myself at night. Yeah. You may want to try doing it. You going on this trip to Israel? Tell them you want to walk the Jericho Road at night. Let's see what you got. Mm-hmm. It's the Jericho Road, but it's the road of compassion. Write it down. It's the road of compassion. You're going to be minding your own business. Yeah. Yeah. There's a picture of a little boy, a close-up there. Can you guys give me that? I wanted to show this to you. I know we're on the timeline here, but you have that picture, please? I think it's there somewhere. I'm going to wait for a second if she can find it. Yeah. This little boy I found rummaging in the garbage dump. I got a chance to talk to him a little bit. I think there's the next picture of him. Yeah. Every day he goes to the dump finding stuff to eat. There's a chain of restaurants there called Jollibee in the Philippines. Jollibee throws out their leftovers, throws it in the dump. And this little guy lives in the dump. He was trying to find something to eat. And I talked to him a little bit. I had part of a sandwich. I just sat down with him. He spoke Tagalog, not much English, but I kept my interpreter there. He has no parents. What a surprise, right? I sat down. I took the garbage away from him. I gave him part of my sandwich. And I thought, you know, Lord, somebody needs to do something here. You heard what I said. And something happened. See, that's why I wish some of you could go with me when I go to some of these places. Going to Israel is great, but maybe you need to go to the garbage dump. I don't know. Maybe. And I thought, you know what? We've got some leftover cookers because when that typhoon hit Tacloban in the Philippines a couple of years ago, we worked with the Korean Army. And when the Korean Army left to go back to Seoul, they left us their big pots and rice cookers. I thought, okay. So, is there a picture of a truck? I got a truck. Give me the truck shot. So I talked to some people, and we were able to get this truck. You see, we got the truck rigged up where the side comes up, and those are the cooking pots and the rice cookers. I was able to raise enough money to get the truck. We had the cookers. Now I'm just trying to get enough money to finish the thing. We got to use propane gas, so we got the thing rigged up. So we can take this truck now into the garbage dump and the cemeteries where the kids live. We do Sunday school, and we've got this thing rigged up where we can feed 1,000 kids every hour. Just with the way this thing's rigged up, if I can get enough to finish the truck. Now, how did that happen? People say, oh, you're so smart. No, I ain't smart. I ain't smart. I got a PhD. But it just made me dumber. Now I'm more mad because I spent all the money on the stupid PhD and it didn't make me a bit smarter. And that'll just irritate the fire out of you. After you spent that time and money, you just want to slap those professors. And I got it in Britain and I had to work with the British, which was even worse than spending the money. Spending the money to work with the British. How stupid was that? But you know what? See, I was in the dump with the little boy. And him and I were walking down a little road in the dump, and it hit me. You see the pattern, don't you? You see the pattern of the process. The power of the process. See, because I'd already walked the road of recognition a long time ago. And I walked the road of confrontation. And I've had to make a lot of changes over the years. And then I was minding my own business. And I saw the little boy. And I gave him part of my sandwich. I didn't have to hear an audible voice. I didn't have to see a burning bush. And I thought, you know what? I'm older now. And maybe I can get some people to help me make this truck, to make this mobile kitchen. And hopefully after this trip, we'll have enough to finish this thing off. You know what, folks? Well, see, what are you going to do? Because one day, if you've recognized him and you allow him to confront you one day, and I'm looking at you straight up Sunday morning, one day, like the man who picked me up, he was just going home from work, man. He was just going home from work. He wasn't planning on nothing. His own kid's dying. And he was put on the road of compassion. And when you arrive that day, what are you going to do? Interesting, isn't it? So I asked you the question again. How far do you want to go on this journey? How far do you want to go? Or do you want to stop somewhere because you think, I can't do it, not for me. But I'm out of time. Last, road number 4. Oh, that's in chapter 19 of the Gospel of John. What road is this? That's the Calvary Road. Yeah. And what kind of road is the Calvary Road? If the Emmaus Road was the road of recognition, if the Damascus Road was the road of confrontation, if the Jericho Road is the road of compassion, what kind of road is the Calvary Road? A lot of people would say it's the road of sacrifice. And you'd be partly right, but I personally think it's the road of obedience. Because to obey is better than sacrifice. I talked earlier about Jesus in the garden acting out of obedience. When the obedience came, the sacrifice was the byproduct. But the obedience had to come first. You know that. That's kind of the road I'm on now, I guess, in my own life. I'm just walking it out now as I'm getting older. Wait a minute, I said 5 roads, right? Did I say 5? Yeah, I think I did. Maybe there is 5 roads. Well, I don't have a chapter and verse for this one. So this is your assignment till next year. Here's your homework assignment. You ready? You up for it? Here's your assignment. I'm going to let you figure out a chapter and verse for this last road. There was an old poem written by an American author by the name of Robert Frost. I like poetry. That's shocking, isn't it? I don't look like a poetry kind of guy. I know. I've actually wrote some poetry. And it's a story, a poem about this man on a journey. And he comes to the woods, the edge of the forest, and there's 2 roads. And if he's going to continue, listen to me, if he's going to continue, he has to make the decision. This one, this one, this one, this one. One is a wider road, obviously well-traveled. The other, a narrower path, not as well-traveled. They're not marked. But if you're going to continue the journey, you got to call it, man. You got to call it. Make the call. If you're going to continue to your destination. And if you know the poem, then you'll know how it ends. And the man trying to make the decision says, and I chose the road less traveled. And for me, it made all the difference. I used to work at one of the biggest churches in the United States when I was a young man. I had a car. I don't have a car anymore. I lived in a house. I don't live in a house anymore. I live in an old, what was an abandoned warehouse. If I would have stayed working at that church, I wouldn't have to travel every week to raise the money to build a mobile kitchen. Really? Really? I wouldn't have to go every week and try to get people to help me help kids like Rosie, to get kids fun. I wouldn't have to do that. I guarantee you, if I'd have stayed working at that church, I'd never got shot in the head. I wouldn't have had all the diseases I've had. I would have got a paycheck every week. That doesn't happen much now. That's cool. It's okay. I'm good with it. But because I chose a road less traveled, I decided to go to Brooklyn, New York by myself. How stupid is that? And everybody said, you're going to die there. And everybody said, it's never been done. And everybody says a lot of stuff, don't they? And the church people and the denominational people and all the folks said, you really have lost your mind, haven't you? And when I was driving myself to the hospital and the blood was pumping out of my face, I was watching a pile up on the floor of the church van. I was watching myself bleed to death. It took me 15 minutes to drive myself to the hospital. I prayed. Of course I did. You know what I prayed? I said, God, if you get me through this one, I'm going to do more with the last part of my life than I ever did with the first part. And I was driving down the road to get to the hospital. God, please don't miss this, folks. Please don't miss this. I'm driving down the road, watching myself bleed to death. I called the office on the cell phone. I said, tell the folks at the hospital I'm coming in. And I remember pulling into the ER driveway, and I was just passing out, and they pulled me out. That's all I remembered till I came to in the operating room. And people ask me, after all this stuff, all the stories I've told you guys, all the stuff you see on the video, I'm going to be 67 in a few weeks. And we're still starting Sunday schools in the parts of the world where nobody wants to go. I'm trying to build a mobile kitchen. I'm still out there cutting kids that are chained to trees. How is that, man? How is that? Because I chose a road less traveled. I chose to recognize him for who he was. I allowed him to confront me. And I was willing to make the changes. And I walked the road of compassion. And I walk it gladly. And now I'm just trying to walk it out in obedience. I don't know where y'all are going. I don't know where you want your road to take you. I don't know if you know what your destiny is. But I'm asking you, if you don't, maybe this afternoon you can take a little walk, huh? Take a little walk by yourself. Take a little walk and say, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'm there and I'll walk it out. And Father, that's my prayer for my friends. My time is done. But I asked you in the quietness of this moment that each one of us in the house today will ask ourselves, where am I on the road to my destiny? Where am I on my journey? Where am I? Where am I? Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. No one looking around. Spirit of God speaking to people's hearts today. The song I've had them play for each one of the services is Open the Eyes of My Heart. I did that for a reason. Because at the end of it, that's what this weekend's really about. That's what it's about. It's about seeing past yourself. Seeing beyond the little worlds that we create for ourselves. I saw the little guy in the dump. I gave him half my sandwich. No big deal, right? Right? You tell me. The man that picked me up. No big deal, right? Yeah. So, Father, I pray that as we go about our business this week, that it won't be business as usual. Open the eyes of our heart. Let us see ourselves so we can see others. Because there's still a little boy sitting on a corner. Yes, there is. There's a little girl being sold right now. While we're sitting here, there's a little girl being sold. And we all know it. We all know it. Let the journey begin. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Oh, shining in the light of your glory. Just pour out your power and love. As we sing, holy, 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 to see you high and lifted up. Oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. As we sing, holy, holy, holy. Now listen to it. Listen. And we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, holy, holy, holy.
your word reminds us that narrow is the gate. Narrow is the road that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Father, we thank you for reminding us today that we are all on this journey of our lives. We do have to make choices about the roads that we travel along. Father, as we go out from this place, pray that the message will challenge each one of us, not only to look for simple solutions, but to be prepared to walk the road. Whether it is the road of recognition, whether it is the road of confrontation, the road of compassion, even the road of obedience. Help us to choose, Lord, your way. As we go from this place now, Father, we pray, Lord, may you do your work in our lives. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with all of us now and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Service is over. Pastor Bill will be out there at the back. So if you want to, just go along and maybe say hello to him and look at the table. I'll see you all back next week. God bless you.